I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
The end of the
it's
year,
a
it's
setup.
Like it's such a free fall
for gym memberships.
Right.
For big gym.
For big yeah. gym.
Big fitness.
I'm dyking out, you're dyking out. Let's dyke out together. See what it's all about.
Dyking out, dyking out, dyking out, dyking out.
Hi, and welcome to Dyking Out, a podcast with big journaling energy. Stick around to see what that means. I'm Carolyn Bergier.
I'm Melody Kamali, and today we're diking out with Kima Bob about New Year's. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Also, I think it's pretty straightforward when we say big journaling energy, but I guess you'll learn why in the conversation. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. New Year, new intros. What are we doing here? New announcements. Save the date, January 31st. Will we be at Stonewall? I don't know. Depends on...
Who knows what's happening right now?
Right.
I don't.
Me neither.
We'll plan
no
a lineup.
Clue. We're planning.
We won't sell tickets until we're closer to the date.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Okay.
We're just, you know, riding this wave with the rest and the best of you. Melody, what's the gayest thing you did this week, which would have been the last week of 2021?
Ooh. You know, I finally made it home after my quarantine. In Austin, I haven't moved much. I only did one thing, and that was have a birthday.
Oh, so okay.
That was fun. That was nice.
I say it like I'm surprised. I knew you had a birthday. I wish you a happy birthday. The listeners wished you a happy birthday.
Yeah. My birthdays are more for Allie, you know, like every year it's like she is a little Buddy the Elf. Like her love language is gift giving, acts of service. Like she loves it. She had a whole day planned for me, like breakfast. She had planned FaceTimes with my family.
Birthday sex.
Birthday sex. Yeah. You saw her video of her singing this song.
Can we explain the... I want more context on the birthday sex Instagram story.
Oh, I don't know. I just started walking up to her on the street and that's what came out of her mouth.
And she was just...
When I was filming her.
Singing birthday sex.
Okay. There is a comedian. There's a comedian, Chastity Washington.
Yes.
Great, great stand-up, who has a bit about a kid singing that instead of the birthday song, I think it is. And
okay.
Allie came up with Chastity on the South Side in Chicago and just always sings it.
Great.
Because of chastity, but it is a song.
Yeah.
Great thing to sing on your partner's birthday.
On the sidewalk in Brooklyn.
On the sidewalk. By Little Italy. Yeah. Allie took me out shopping. Allie got some friends to pitch in for a gift card to Bloomingdale's. Originally, apparently it was going to be the Doc Martens store, but I wasn't sure if I actually wanted literal Doc Martens. All I knew is I need to get combat boots if okay. I want to be a part of the community. do you have them?
No, I don't.
Everyone has them.
Cecilia does. I don't.
Every time I'm out with Dykes, I feel like I'm the only one not wearing combat boots. And
here's the thing. I got
really
feet.
Fixated.
Yeah.
You so do?
Yeah, I have big feet. It doesn't appeal to me to have combat boots for that.
Yeah. I feel like they look really like boofy on me too. Like I have like a size 9. So I think Allie had noticed that I've been looking at them a lot online, and instead of a Doc Martin one, she like got one for a big department store where I could have the option of Doc Martens or something else. So then she took me to the store, and they were sold out of my size and everything that appealed to me. So we went and got me a really utilitarian bra. And she came in the dressing room while I tried on the largest bras you've ever seen in your life. The most unsexy, beige, full coverage, minimizing bras. Guess what? I am a double D. I don't know. I keep going back and forth. If you're following.
So controversial. Yeah.
On the podcast, the saga of me trying to figure out what size I am. So I just got a huge bra for my birthday. And then we got dinner. Met up with Erica Rose of Lesbian Bar Project fame. That's pretty gay. Rounded it out with the light show at the Brooklyn Botanic Gardens, which was actually so much fun.
Yes, so I've seen people posting about
beautiful.
It. It looks beautiful. People get emotional.
She really like thinks of everything because she knows I love Christmas lights. Like I am a Grinch. I don't really care for the holiday season at all. But I love the lights. Like I love to go to Diker Heights in Brooklyn, like look at the displays. I love a light display. I love a light show. And it's an inside joke with my family that I call Christmas lights ever since I was a kid. Peaky Pookies.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No.
It shouldn't. I used to argue with my parents as a toddler until like I was 5, 6. Like,
it sounds like a slur.
Yeah, I know. They're like, no, Melody, it's Christmas lights. I'm like, no, Dad, it's Peaky Pookies. It's Peaky Pookies because that's the sound like I would translate to words that like blinking lights make.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm telling you, that, like, she thinks of everything. It's okay. Not my gayest thing. It's Allie's gayest thing. Being okay. Like such a wonderful partner and thinking of literally everything and surprising me with that. Good day.
Love
I went
it.
From not walking for all of quarantine to getting 15,000 steps that day. I am so sore now, like from walking. I talk about this in the interview too, but like, please stretch. If you get COVID, if you don't get COVID, remember to like, it's so I'm the weakest I've ever been. I'm so sore from just leaving the apartment and walking around post COVID.
I mean, I know it's your birthday, but you're technically only a day older than you were the day before. Like I feel like you've aged.
Threw my back out from coughing. It's insane. Carolyn.
Yeah.
What's the gayest thing you did this week?
Well, since we last recorded, we recorded last time, I think, on Christmas Eve. So My gayest thing was on Christmas, I watched A Christmas Carol, and not the Charles Dickens classic, but I watched the movie Carol on Christmas. And that's really gay. That's my favorite Christmas Carol to do.
And so did I.
The gay-
Isn't that funny?
You did it?
Yeah.
Okay,
I watched
well,
Carol.
Tell me if you did this. The gayest thing about it, Cecilia and I went to bed after the sex scene finished. We're like, we don't need to watch the rest. We got there. We're like,
I watched
time
it
for
through.
Bed.
Oh, that is bisexual.
I was like, this made it like super gay that we're like, we don't need to see where things go to hell. Let's just end
That's
on a
so
high
funny.
Note.
The lesbian meme accounts got to me. They're, you know, posting up a storm. with all the Carol content.
It's just a nice way to wind down the evening. So before we put Carol on, we watched a movie that I mentioned on last week's Patreon episode. I mentioned it in my Instagram. I came across it on Showtime. And I was like, what is this movie? It sounds horrible. It's called Ellie and Abby and Ellie's Dead Aunt. And it's about a high schooler in Australia, Ellie, who wants to ask Abby to the formal. And the ghost of her lesbian aunt comes and acts as like a fairy godmother of types to like give her advice. She doesn't really give her a makeover or anything like that. It's not like a Cinderella story or anything. I'm like, this, based on synopsis, sounds like a train wreck. It's such a cute movie. I recommend it. It's like a cute feel good movie with heart. It's so like Australian and cute. The actors in it are adorable. It was just like such a delightful watch, and it had some fun and funny moments to it. So yeah, if you're looking for kind of like a, I would say lighthearted, but there are a couple heavy things about it.
Yeah. So
it's good.
If you kept your Showtime account past L Word Gen Q finale.
Yes.
Check it out.
Check that out and check out Yellow Jackets because...
Oh, yeah. That's what you check out.
I'm watching that as well. So that's my gayest thing for sure for the end of 2021. And now we're going to talk about the new year, but kind of, you know, it's just like where we're at right now. This is kind of a loose conversation with an amazing guest. I am thrilled that this is our first guest of the new year. And you'll know why as soon as they start talking. Just what a great vibe, a great energy to ring in the new year. I think it's the energy we need right now. We are diking out with comedian Kima Bob about New Year's. Kima Bob is a comedian, writer, and producer from Houston, Texas, now based in London. Their work centers Black cultural identity, mental health, sexuality, gender, healing, and well-being, using entertainment as a tool for enlightenment and empowerment. And we cannot wait to see them in person. So make sure you follow them. And hopefully when live performances are popping off again, check them out. But for now, let's get to this interview. Kima, and it's so great to meet you and have you here to dike out with us, our first guest of 2022. Wow. Kicking it off right.
Yes. Welcome, Kima.
Thank you so much, cuties. It's really nice to meet you. And I love how you have like twin haircuts, but like one of them's pink.
I know.
I did accidentally get the same. Yeah, I accidentally got the same haircut as Melody.
She copied me and I copied Posh Spice. I did.
Fair. Fair.
We had our first live recording together, which is our first in-person recording since COVID. And I got my hair done that day. And I show up and I look at Melody. I'm like, oh, I definitely got the same haircut.
It works. It's a good vibe. I hate that everyone is not here to witness this.
Yeah, Carolyn, you have the bisexual Bob now as the lesbian co-host.
What does it mean?
Things are changing. Whoa. Welcome to 2022.
And that's what we're here to talk about. But before we get to that, let's talk about you.
What?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, my God.
Regale us.
I could never.
What is the gayest thing you did this week before we get to anything else?
So I was hanging out with my Nana and my cousin because basically, long story short, LSS. I live in London, but I'm back home in Texas trying to like understand me by getting like a better understanding of my family. I was hanging out with my grandma and my only cousin on that side. And we were talking about sexuality and stuff. And it was really like, my grandma was like, well, you just like everybody, you just like sex. And I was like, no, it's not that I just like sex. I mean, I'm a fan, but that's not the drive here. And I was able to like talk to my grandma and ask her like, have you ever like kissed a woman? Like, what's your deal there? And she was like, you know, lesbians have always liked me, but I'm not sure. And it was just a very fun moment of being like, Nana, I hope that you're... I think I literally told her that I hope you eat pussy before you die. and
that's it.
You know.
We should all be telling our nanas that.
I think so. Just go.
If mine were still alive. Yeah. That is a beautiful story.
I hope that she did.
I also love that your nana was telling on herself, being like, you're just like everybody. We all love sex with whoever we can get it with.
She's like, you just like sex.
But for now, she's just a gay icon. She's not queer in any way. She's just a queer icon.
She still has time.
I just love the idea that, like, lesbians have always liked me. And how do I feel about that? I have no feelings about that. It's just something I've observed and have never participated in any way whatsoever. But just know that I am desired by the queer women in my life. All of them. Like, all right, Nana. Okay.
So good.
I love it. So your family's all in Houston. You live in London. How long have you been living in London for?
I've been like UKing it for 5 years. It's weird. It's like same, but different. Because I think I left America and I was like, I just want to, I don't know, get a wider perspective on like what the world is. But I also didn't realize that I was trying to put like an entire ocean between me and my like family and like childhood trauma. And I was like, oh,
the dream.
You know what I mean? The ocean is very effective.
You put a literal space between you and your...
And 6 hours.
That's great.
I put 6 hours between it. So it's wild. And I think when I was choosing, I was just like, okay, well, I speak English only. So let me go somewhere where I can live and also do that.
That's exactly what my friend from Temple, Texas did. She lives in London. Yeah. She put a whole ocean and it was just came down to the language barrier. And that's how she landed on it.
Honestly. And then you're just like, okay, you know? And yeah, so it's been a beautiful time. And it's like, I'm really happy, but I do miss being home. So it's nice to have like little chunks. And I went to like and coming back, like people always assume if you're from America, they're like, so you're from New York, right? You're obviously from New York. And I'd never been to New York. And then like, so I went earlier this year and when Omicron was popping off, which was very exciting. And so I was able to take part in that. Which, you know, I was just like, well, I'm a real New Yorker. You know?
Yeah, we all had it. We all had it at the same time. Funny enough. So Melody and I missed meeting you because you had a show the night of the L Word Christmas Carol.
Horrible,
but you were
going
to come by.
I actually regret the choice to go there and not there. Yeah.
Oh, no.
But yeah, how was the reading?
Oh, it was amazing. And Mila killed it. We all had so much fun. But that night, like on my drive back home, because I live upstate, I started feeling like chills. I started being like, something's not right. And then the next day I was like full on COVID. But I had tested negative right before the show.
Yeah, of course you did.
Right. Melody flew to Texas the next day. Her girlfriend got COVID from a show she did that Tuesday night,
which I think you were supposed to be on, maybe Alicia Brown's show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's maybe a good thing you didn't do that show because a comic.
Well, but Kima still got COVID. Anyway.
Oh, you still got
it. Hell yeah. I still got the vid. It's so fucked up because when you get the vid, there's this feeling of social responsibility. And it is so, because this is my second time. I got it August of 2020. And oh my God, the 10 days of isolation. So I live alone in London. The 10 days in my house alone, I forgot who the fuck I was. on so many levels. Yeah. I left isolation with no sense of smell and going to therapy twice a week. I was like, Paulette, we need to fucking bump it up because some things came to the surface and it was real bad. Like, I was like, I get mean when nobody tells me things about myself. It's like, you know, I was like, nobody complimented my hair. I didn't do any like work. Like, it was horrible. Like, who am I? I didn't do the laundry. Like, I woke up every day, like, too tired to clean the bathroom and being like, you need to clean. It's just the smallest things. I made the biggest issues. And I was like, oh my God. Like, it was brutal. So like the second time that I got it, I was just like, there's this feeling of like, I feel like you're like a reverse ticking time bomb. Like, it's like, okay, 10 days until I don't kill anybody that I come into contact with. Like, it's horrible. And this like huge societal issue, like, becomes your issue. And, you know, it's, oh God, it's horrible. And then you're like, okay, who the fuck did I touch? When did I get it? When did I test? When, like, you know what I mean? You're trying to do fucking math to see when you're not contagious anymore.
Yeah, full formulas. Right. Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah.
I felt so much guilt because I was like, I knew at that show there were people who were very like nervous about getting COVID. We all wore masks backstage. Mm-hmm. I brought mic covers and stuff. And then I'm like, fuck, I could have been patient zero at this show. And luckily nobody seemed to get it from there. But the guilt and then it was very real.
It's very real. It's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like around my grandma and like she was like, I want to hug you. And I was like, don't, bitch. Like, I back the fuck up. And she was like, I haven't seen you in so long. And I was like, and you could die. This could be the last time. Like, God, the anxiety. But we're fully recovered.
Well,
yes,
we are. Except I didn't move for 10 to 12 days minimally. I barely moved. I got stuck in Austin, Texas when I tested positive, so I had to quarantine in a hotel.
I was same.
So you really? Yeah, were you?
But I was at my grandma's house.
Okay. So I barely moved. I was very manic. Actually, I was cracking jokes. I was making little TikTok. I was like,
hyper-functioning.
Yeah. And then I hit a wall and I crashed and I didn't move for like 10 days. And then I was taking Tylenol because the headache will not go away. I'm negative now, but like the headache will not go away.
Oh my
God. I was choking on water when I took a Tylenol a few days ago. And I was coughing so hard from choking on water that I've pulled a few muscles in my back and I'm in excruciating pain right now.
Oh my God.
I can barely move without whimpering, and that's just, you know, some extra fun bonus.
They
COVID
don't talk
side
about
effects.
That.
No one Nobody's talks about
talking,
that.
No one's talking
and I posted about,
the about
it.
Thing.
Some people have responded to me, a few people, that they have also pulled muscles from sneezing, etc. So definitely, if and when you get it, listeners, stretch consistently.
Yeah, yeah. Stretch and call your fucking friends.
Yeah,
I had a moment like the first time that I got it where I stopped, like, I smoked weed for a long time and I was like, I don't know if I should be, I don't know if this is good for my brain. Actually, I did some shrooms. It made me like a lot easier to stop smoking weed. Drugs is stopping other drugs. And during my like COVID isolation, I just looked at my weed box and I was like, I just looked at it and I was like, I don't know. I'm just in here. I was like, I'm here. You're here.
And then I just remember my edibles
walking around the room and I was like, will it make it better? I was like, your brain is already in a pretty bad place. I was like, if you smoke this weed, do you think it's going to improve your situation? I was like, wow, that's growth.
Good on you. I still took my edibles.
Oh, 1,000%. Cause it's boring as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. Edibles is how I realized I had COVID. I was walking around Austin. I didn't know I had it yet. I took an edible and I was like, whoa, this is hitting me very different. I must be extra high. Surely it's because I took it on an empty stomach. No, it was COVID kicking in.
Like, I need to lay down.
Extra dehydration right now, huh?
Mm-hmm. What's going on with that? Did you watch anything fun doing your COVID isolalize?
I watched sort of. on HBO Max. It's a Canadian show.
It's so good.
So good. It's,
I like recommendations.
Very gender fluid, follows Pakistani non-binary person navigating coming out to their family. It's just it takes place in Toronto. It's just so effortlessly queer and gender fluid and not ham-fisted in that the way every other show is right now. That was good. Otherwise, of course, the guide button was broken on my TV at my hotel I was quarantining at. So I just had to lock into a friend's marathon for 10 days.
I'm adding it to my...
Sort of.
I have a document called Shit to Watch that way behind on, and I don't even update as much as I should. But just like a Google Doc called Shit to Watch.
Love
because sometimes you need to know.
Absolutely.
God. Yeah, we were catching up on shows, and then my wife and I, like, because we kept like falling asleep a lot and not feeling well, we wanted something like shorter and easier to watch. So we started watching I Love Lucy, or like rewatching it. We hadn't watched it in years. And like the more we watch it,
how did that feel?
It's funny because we realize that we're like a little bit like the Ricardos. Like my wife is very much a Lucy and I'm a Ricky, even though she's the Latin one.
It clicked to me like last night for some reason. I was because you know they have that new show, that new movie or whatever the fuck. It clicked to me that like Desi Arnaz would have been like one of the few like representations of Latino men. Like it just clicked to me for the first time, and I was like, holy shit, like that's actually super iconic.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that you're Desi. I just finished Insecure last night.
Oh,
and
me
fucking
too.
Fucking cried like a little baby bitch on multiple levels, because I think like I cried because it was like a good final episode and there are lots of like tear jerky moments. But then I watched the documentary about like Issa's journey. And I currently am like really struggling with the idea of screenwriting. I'm just like, this is fucking like, I didn't go to school for this. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you guys relate.
I went to school for it and I still struggle with it. I literally have a degree in it.
It's so like, do you know what I mean? And so there's a lot that I have to learn. And I told not only myself, but some professional people that over this time period that while I was home, because I've just like hit a wall with it where I'm like, I'm so bad at this and there's so much I need to learn about this. And I told them, I was like, while I'm home over the holidays, I'm going to work on that. I'm going to read some books about that. I'm going to work on that. Do you know what I've been working on? Understanding the chaotic dynamics of my fucking family. Like, do you know? Yeah. I've been very emotionally productive. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so watching that, I think I just like, there's just this moment. And as we like, as it's the last day of the year and stuff, I kind of cried a bit because I was like, her journey is so beautiful and she's learned so much and she's grown so much. But basically I was just kind of like inspired by that. And I think a lot of people writing things, I don't know, some of us want to get like, want to write things that exist, or like I think it would be dope to work on Ted Lasso, like, you know, like so some of us want to work on things that exist, but also a lot of us want to create something that's what, like, never been seen before, right? You know, let's break the mold. And I feel like her show did, and it'll influence so many people, including myself. And I was just really like touched by that, and I was like, do you know what, I think I'm ready to try again. Like,
I mean, speaking of Issa Rae, she has, I haven't watched it yet, I need to get someone's masterclass password or sign up for myself, but she has a masterclass on it's like creating outside the lines or something, but she breaks down like how to take an idea and really like flesh it out. That could be worth looking
into
too.
I started watching, which I was going to say, you can have my masterclass login, because literally I got it and I'm just like, anybody want to watch a masterclass? Because I got it to watch Shonda Rhimes' one about like screenwriting, because someone told me it was good. Do you know what the fuck happened? I started watching it And she was like, and we're going to break down the first episode of Grey's Anatomy or whatever. So then I just started watching Grey's Anatomy instead. And now I'm on like season six. It's fucked up.
That happens every time I get a pilot sample. I just start watching the show.
I think Masterclass is just a scam for people to promote their own work. And honestly, then it's like more fun to watch their work than take the class. But yeah, that's my wife every morning. She's like, do you want to watch a Masterclass? I'm like, maybe tomorrow.
I love that. First of all, I love that you're like wifed up and wifed out. Because relationships, yeah, like healthy relationships are fucking hard, dude. Like, yeah, they're hard.
Yeah. Is there a Masterclass on that?
There fucking needs to be. I'd take
maybe
it.
We'll make
I
one.
Won't watch yeah. it, but there needs to be.
Mm-hmm. But if any of those people have, I don't know, a TV show that spans 17 seasons, I'd much prefer to get into that.
For real. So we're talking about all this, like we all had like a weird end of year with COVID. We are all comedians here with our dreams, our ambitions. Mm-hmm. It's the new year, and it always feels like I know I have and Melody also has these like best self journals and planners. Mm-hmm. And I've been holding on to it. I'm like, yes, starting January 1.
Give me the rundown on the best self journal and planner.
It's like a productivity tool.
Okay,
we're both Capricorns.
Capricorns. Okay,
Pisces, all right. Stellium. Okay. So like through this
Capricorn
vibe.
Stellium.
Oh, she's in there.
Yeah, it's like borrows from bullet journaling a little bit, if you've heard of that. But basically, it's sectioned out. Each journal takes the span of 13 weeks. You start with three goals, and it helps you track your progress on those goals. You track your habits that you're trying to form. It's divided into a monthly section, like monthly calendars, weekly and daily. You start every day with what you're grateful for.
Important.
And you end every night with what you're grateful for.
There's an inspirational quote on every page, and it breaks every day down by hour chunks. Yeah. It's just, you know, a planner.
For your best self.
Mm-hmm.
You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Are you somebody who like sets New Year's resolutions, or are you like, fuck that, I don't need to be on the calendar's timeline?
I bounce back and forth because I think so over the past year, I've been on my spiritual shit. So I meditate and try to journal daily. I usually do journal daily, but if I am in a rush, then I'll just make sure to get that Tay Tay in. But it's wild because the way that it started was like this, this person I was sleeping with, she would like meditate every day because she had like PTSD. And so she had to every morning and every night to like get in her body and to like set herself off on like a good whatever. And basically what happened was she classically ended up staying at my house for like, you know, weeks long stretches. And I was like, fuck it, I'll join you. And I hated the meditation that she was doing, but that's how that habit kind of like built into, like, I was like, okay, I see how you make time for this. And I mentioned that because I've kind of like, yeah, I've been leaning into my spiritual shit and I've been acknowledging the fact that like maybe me and the moon have vibes. And so I try like to catch a like new moon of like, what do I want to like, what intentions do I want to set, and trying to live life intentionally, because like purpose I think is really important. And like doing the work that we do, it can get really easy to just like wanna make money or be seen, right? And I don't want to be driven by those things, because that's, you can just chase that around in circles and never get it. And when you get it, it's not enough.
So Melody, forget everything I said yesterday when we were goal setting for the podcast.
Yeah,
we're like, more money, more listeners.
Well, at the same, it's a really tricky one, because I don't know, we're just in this fucking society and we do have to pay bills, right? And to an extent, like say, if you want to create something like what you guys have that like impacts people in a positive way, you're going to want it to reach far, you know?
Right.
So it's really like, it's a tricky place to be. But I think if your intention is in a good place, you know, which is to like bring something like positive and relatable or whatever the fuck. So I've been trying to make sure that my intentions align with, you know, my like heart and not just with like fear, because I'm a very anxious and fearful like kind of person at times. And so I've been new mooning, and that's like a kind of monthly almost resolution moment. And so yeah. I guess as we come to the end of the year, it's like my thing is kind of more so, instead of like goals, I think I'm looking at intentions as a bigger picture. And I think my big intention is to trust more and like fear less, to not let like fear and anxiety rule my decision making. Yeah. And that's a lifelong task. But I think, yeah, so that's kind of my vibe at the moment is, yeah. What about you guys? Are you like intention-y? Or well, like, you know what I mean? Like, because, you know, it's always like, okay, I've been eating so bad, and I fucking have, especially coming to Texas, like I fucking have. But yeah.
Yeah, that's what I don't like about setting New Year's resolutions. We're always coming off the end of like this gluttonous,
right.
Like depleted time. Yeah. And I'm worn thin at the end of the holiday season. And of course it's going to be, drink more water, like stop eating so much macaroni and cheese and move on with my life. Like it's like really frivolous more and more. That's why I said on the Patreon, when we were talking about what's your New Year's resolution, mine was like, just stop doubting myself. And it was very honestly, aligned with what you're saying. Yeah.
Honestly,
and that is just an intention that I'm constantly working on.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of getting over, I'm over it. New Year's resolutions. It's an arbitrary day.
Yeah. I didn't set it last year because of COVID. Like, usually I do try to come up with some like goals for the year, but last year with like COVID and everything, I'm like, I'm not even gonna bother. Like, if COVID taught me anything, it's like,
hell yeah,
do not do this to yourself. Do not put like all of like your goal, because it could be blown up at any second. So yeah, it's better to be more present and more intentional. But Melody, that's a good point. Like, the end of the year,
it's
like,
it's such a
free fall
for gym memberships.
Oh, right, right, right.
For big gym.
For big gym.
Big fitness.
It is. It is. And it's like, and it's the hardest time to like, we're expected just to like switch after like this, you know.
Hell yeah.
Just like letting go and doing whatever we want. And just like,
after being in the cold, being in the dark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's not setting you up for success for that. And just be like, okay, like day one we have to do all this stuff, like but I find myself being like, okay, like at 2022 I'm gonna I'm going vegetarian or pescatarian, I'm gonna stop eating meat in 2020. I'm like, I don't know, I could just do that now. I don't know why I'm waiting to the new year, so I could just like feast on all the things and you know, be like, oh yes, I do enjoy how this tastes, and like, let me remind myself of that before I go cold turkey and cut it out. It makes no sense. It feels arbitrary, but I find myself doing it anyway. Also, my birthday is January 1st.
Oh wow.
So yeah, so very much does feel like, okay, this year of my life.
Yeah, that's a different game entirely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. See, mine was a couple days ago. So it does always align with like a birthday, like a personal new year.
Yeah.
So I think about it a little more, but otherwise I'm not giving in to big wellness this year.
It's a big wellness and a big therapy. Like, although I do fuck with me some therapy.
I know, my therapist has been off for 2 weeks, so I'm can't wait for the new year.
Oh my gosh, yeah, mine too. She was like, I'm good, and I was like, and I was trying to remind myself, I'm like, hey, everyone needs rest and breaks, we should all have rest and breaks, let her have a rest and break, see her when she comes back from a rest and break. 3 weeks, all right, cool, it's a rest and a break. Good for you, girl. Good for you, Paulette. Enjoy that time. Enjoy that time away. I'll be fine. I'll be fine while you're away. It's fine. This is not a crutch.
I had therapy 3 times in 1 week before she took 2 weeks off.
Just to prepare.
I panicked.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, she's going to be gone for 2 weeks. I better fit an extra one in.
Yeah, what are you doing? What are you doing out there?
I'm starting therapy in a week and a half. So
I've been off of it
for a long time. Yeah. Desperately need.
I don't know. It's like, it feels like my friends are wise, but also a bit crazy.
Are they British too? Like, are they getting into they the British nitty crazy? Gritty or the feelings? Or is your therapist British? What's happening?
Yeah. Do you know what? If you've seen the most recent season of Ted Lasso, she doesn't behave like the therapist in Ted Lasso, but she sounds and looks just like her. And it was freaking me out. And I was like, does Paulette have a cousin? Like, it was terrifying. Yeah, but like, the support system, weirdly, that I've been able to find over the past like 5 years has been so good. And I'm so grateful for it. Because like, when I was living in the States, I don't know if I really knew me. So how could anyone else really know me, if that makes sense? Yeah. So
are you friends with a lot of comedians? Like, does that make up most of your community over there?
So I like to call them my core four, because I'm like, you don't need a shit ton of like great friends, you know what I mean? So one of my best friends, we went to college in Texas together, and she's a doctor living in like Washington DC, which is great because I got strep earlier this year when I was in LA at the beginning of my like America trip, and I don't have fucking health insurance, and she got me some antibiotics, and I was like,
nice.
I'm so glad that you struggled through medical school and that I was able to emotionally support you. And now I get these antibiotics. But otherwise, like, one of my good friends is a cabaret performer that runs the great cabaret company. And she has been so lovely, especially in my like journey as a queer person in the UK. Like through performing in her shows, I was able to meet like more queer people and be a part of like more queer events. And that's how I like stubbled upon like drag kinging and stuff like that.
Which I want to talk about, but yes. Finish your thought.
You know what I mean? And so I'm so grateful for that. And we're able to like support each other in big ways. And one of my other good friends who's in comedy is also a queer Black woman. And so we're able to navigate the way that the industry kind of like uses us, utilizes us, treats us, and the way that we feel about different things, but also what we want to do. And I have other friends that I wouldn't say are in the like core, but that I'm quite close to in comedy. But you have to be careful because we're fucking crazy people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not often a healthy sense of anything that drives someone to this work. And so for me, when I make a friend in comedy, it's important that like they're not looking at me in a competitive way.
Right.
That we can truly champion and support each other, and that their sense of like self-worth, and this is a challenging one, or like, you know, isn't built on bullshit, because I don't want to like ingest that through like osmosis, you know what I mean?
Right.
By being close to like a like fame hungry or super insecure person.
It's an industry of bullshit.
Yeah. And so you have to insulate yourself.
Tell us about Little Test Ease.
Oh my God. Do you know what?
Such a good name.
It's such a bad name, but it works.
So good. I LOL'd when I read it.
Yes.
I was just like, for me, it's been such an interesting journey. Like, because initially I was like, I'm going to explore the way that I absolutely love hip hop, but hip hop doesn't often love me, by creating a drag character that's a rapper. And then I was like, no way. He's a conservative rapper and a men's rights activist. And he doesn't understand what consent is. And he's wondering who taught all these bitches how to speak French, because they're all talking about consent now. And like, it was this exploration of kind of some of the like toxic attitudes that I've like run into, whether it be in person or through like the music that I love. And then I think it, like, as you know, like Trump was trumping. And so I was able to make fun of conservatism. But then on another level, I remember initially being really uncomfortable with how much people were attracted to him, because I didn't feel very attractive within my own self. And so it kind of freaked me out that like girls were like, so like, and I was like, hey, this is fake. Like me. I was like, you want to like me? I was like, this is a fucking beard. This is a, or whatever. Like, it was a lot for me. And I think over time,
I never even thought about that's a thing.
Oh my God. It's a thing. And some people like it. You know that queens like it. Oh my God. I think they, some of my friends like who are drag queens, I think they struggle with the fact that sometimes people are really attracted to that image and that idea. But then when they're there with their boy self, that's not being embraced as much as when they're like this tall, glamorous woman. But at the same time, I think there's a part of that people like performers do like, and kings as well. But I think there can also be a discomfort in that. And I've seen a lot of my friends that I perform with, like, and it became that for me. But initially I was really adamant that it wasn't an exploration of gender and gender identity. Like I've seen like my friends who are like, yeah, I'm a drag king. And then they're like, actually, I think I'm a trans man, or I think I'm non-binary. I'm still a drag king. And I think for me, I was like, no, this is just a funny little character. And I was like, and I'm purely uncomfortable by people desiring him. And then I was like, I look fucking hot like this. And I love it. And I was like, I love being able to dip into like my masculinity in a way that's celebrated. And it also, in a weird way, he was kind of like a clown on stage. He was a lot looser than me. And because he'd just say whatever the fuck he wants. He had no filter. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And
so I was able to kind of like incorporate some of that into being myself on stage as well. So it actually like, it was a gift. And it actually started by someone being like, I have a drag king night and we like to get new people into it. It's £30. And at a time when I could really use £30. Yeah, but yeah, I'm really grateful for like the experience, I guess, that I've had with that character and what I've been able to do with him and what he's done for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I get to make music, which I don't think I have like the balls to do as myself. You know, but I get to make like silly songs and that's a good time as well. Yeah.
I mean, obviously costume helps bring parts out of us we didn't know.
You done drag malady?
No. I'm just like, what if I was a drag king screenwriter? Okay.
Hold on
scripts
a second.
Would be flowing out of me.
Yes. And then
overly confident male screenwriter.
Come on. I think it's the
That's a brilliant idea.
What is it? Is it pseudonym the word for when it, like people are like, my name is Jessica, but I'm writing these poems you know, it's just like, I don't know. You can be like passed off. Yeah. It's like, I don't know who wrote this. It was just passed to me. I have no idea who wrote this. You should read it. It's fucking great.
No, I've never done it, but it would be fun. I mean,
yeah.
I have the facial hair as a Middle Eastern woman.
But the way that I like, anytime that someone's like, I want to do stand up, and I'm like, do it. Do you know what I mean? Because I think gatekeeping is gross. Mm-hmm. Is it like, I really do encourage it because I think that it can pull things out of you that, not necessarily that maybe that you didn't know were in you, but also that you're afraid to let out of you. And also, it's a whole shebang.
Oh, definitely. Stand-up changed my life, like, and my almost personality. Like, I was very shy, very timid, like a completely different person, like an outcast, like just on my own, loner. And stand up completely revolutionized like how I interact the world. Like,
oh my god,
no one from home believes it. Like, my family can't understand. They're like, you're so different now, you're so outgoing now. Like, it was stand up.
Do you have family members that when you come home, guys, that are like, I'm funny too?
Oh yeah.
It's my dad, but I don't,
What about you?
Oh, 1,000%.
Grandma.
Yeah.
No, we already know grandma's funny.
She's fucking hilarious. She's hilarious. It's so weird where it's like people's insecurities start to like pop out and they're like, ha 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 ha, I'm making loads of jokes. Do you like that? And it's just kind of like,
right.
Hey man, I don't like when my friends do this. I'm certainly not going to like when my family does it. But chill the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost threatened.
Yeah. I feel like when people start doing that, or when they're like, oh yeah, people tell me I should be stand up, I'm like, do it. Let's go to Mike right now. Mm-hmm. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I'll come with you.
Why not?
And that will shut them down so fast.
It's so insane. You do. That's not hard. It's like, okay. Says the person who doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
We're not gatekeeping. Just do it.
Do it.
Happens.
Yeah, and shut the fuck up in the meantime.
Yeah. Marsha Belsky had a funny tweet that went viral.
I love her.
Oh, me too. So funny. Do you remember? It was very recent. SNL had to cancel their live studio audience. So it was just Tom Hanks and who, like a couple other celebrities. It was an audience of like three that the host was doing their monologue for. And she posted a picture of that because it was them clapping afterwards. And she was like, this is literally your first 10 years of stand up comedy.
I can't even imagine. Like, so I had a really gross gig in New York, gig that shall not be named. That was my only experience of doing comedy in New York, but I can't imagine, like, because it seems, I mean, there are a lot of comics in London, but it seems like New York is just saturated. And you have the, like, the fame people or the big name people. And I can imagine like getting started, like especially getting started there would probably be intimidating for people who maybe would get in their heads about the presence of all of that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm so glad I didn't start in New York for that specific reason. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Carolyn. I just realized you did.
That's okay. I mean, it's all I know was starting in New York, but that's another
thing.
Sorry
about your trauma, Brad. Mm-hmm.
In regards to, like, the new year, like, this is actually, like, my least favorite time to do stand-up comedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, with COVID, it's a little bit different, but every January when I go to, like, hit a mic or something, like, the list is full like an hour before. Like, there's so many new people they're like, this year I'm starting stand-up.
Yeah. I'm going to take that leap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all the people who have like been doing, I'm like, well, now I don't have any like where to work out this material because it's all. And I guess like, yes, like new people should be able to do it. But it's the fact that it's annoying that the new year makes everyone do it at the same time. Like,
yeah, it's like start in June.
Trickle in. Yeah.
But literally, that's when I started. Place. Summer's a great time to start.
Yeah. Come on.
Being out and about, hitting mics, walking around to them.
Yeah. Just like a wild time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like March. You know, it's like October and you're like, I'm going to get in there. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so, so saturated here. And because of COVID, I've been like, you know, out of it, like not on the scene. Like I'm only doing for the most part shows that I host or produce.
That you love.
That I get money for.
It's been
honestly
so hard to like, after that year of everything kind of like slowing down and shutting down, I was like, because I always like being at home.
Yeah.
Especially in my like heavy stoner days, I was like, you want me to leave? Especially when it's cold outside. I'm like, you want me to leave my house? And it was quite difficult after that big year of everything being shut down to like get me to want. I didn't feel like gigging. Like,
yeah, to like schlep across the city for 7 minutes of stage time. It's a lot.
I was
less,
like,
appealing.
That's
but
why I started an open mic, honestly, to make myself feel better about where I'm at in relation to new comics. And a reason to pull myself out of my apartment for at least that one time a week.
I hear you. Oh my gosh. It's an interesting place.
Coming out of quarantines, plural, whichever, like I'm just noticing more and more video content of stand-up. Are you doing that? Like everyone is sort of shifting to like, we don't know how long we're going to be able to perform now. So everyone's recording all of their sets, captioning it and making it digital content. And now I'm like kicking myself for not filming every set vertical.
Right.
I don't know why, but vertical's in. People used to be like, get that horizontal, vertical's in.
Right.
I personally feel like stand up, unless it's very well produced with like multiple cameras and great editing, is something that for myself I'd prefer that you experienced it live.
Same.
I hate shitty videos. I feel like there's something about being in the room, that feeling, that is so different. And so I think the only like stand up stuff that I have online is like that has been filmed and edited, like, you know, and I had something that was online, and oh my God, it was this company in London, and they are associated with Venue, and they're like, we'll film this stuff and we'll like put it online. We got like a couple cameras or whatever. And you know, those gigs where like, you're not feeling great, you're sad, you're tired, but you go because you said you would, you know, you go because you're like, I want to honor my, I was in this big moment of not, canceling on things because I was too anxious to go to them. It was before I like, I don't know, felt more solid in myself. Until I was like, I'm going to go. I look at the footage and I'm like, you're so depressed, you're so off, you gotta get this off the internet. And I wrote to them, and I like a few times I was like, hey, that video is still not offline, like I don't want that evidence out there. But I think,
yeah,
it's interesting to me when people put like, they're just like, I don't know. Also a lot of people like being like, I make TikToks now, guys, and I fucking refuse.
Yeah.
Just the time it takes to do all that. Yeah, like, I guess I have videos that I could edit down and caption. I'm like, do I want to be spending like hours of my time doing that
for something just that for might not age well?
Like, likes? Yeah.
I had a crisis in the first lockdown, and I thought I took all video content of me doing stand-up offline. And then just last week, I was FaceTiming with a toddler, my friend's kid, and my friend was like, well, we wanted to acclimate him, like, he has autism. We wanted to make sure he was, like, familiar with you when we got on the call. So we pulled up some of your stand-up, and I was like, where is it? What did I miss?
I must go get that. I think it's I feel like, you know, just like abortion, it's a personal choice.
My shitty takes my choice.
Many people frown upon it, just like abortion.
Yeah. Your material, your choice. I think it's such a like a weird thing, but I think like validation, the fact that it's built into the work that we do, I think it's a tricky sea to navigate.
Right.
And I think when you take the clappers away from us, I feel like that can get quite challenging. And like, yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's it. I haven't figured out the solution. It's fucked up.
So New Year's resolution, we're all getting on TikTok and we're putting more of our video content out there.
Yep. I'm ready to do those videos where it's just me pretending to be like a character, where I'm like, this is real estate agent who loves dogs.
Yeah.
So this place has a really big backyard. It's a very interesting industry. And I think that that's part of why intentions are so important.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
Is to make sure that you're doing what you're doing. Because that's why I mention it, is like when the live clappers are gone, I think it was quite easy to feel like I needed to produce in some other way that wasn't private. And Michaela Cole, chewing gum, I May Destroy You, great writer, actor, etc. She won, I think it was the Emmy, and she gave this great speech about how sometimes when you go away, whether it's to rest or work or recharge, you can feel like, especially in the social media age, that you're missing out on something, that you're failing, even if you know that you're doing it. And she was basically like, it's okay to go away, to be quiet, and to see what comes to you, like in the stillness or whatever.
Right.
And I thought that was so empowering. I actually am going to mute. Because I don't want people to take unfollowing in a bad way. I'm going to mute everyone on Instagram and Twitter that when I see their stuff, it doesn't make me feel good about me.
Yeah.
Because why should these websites torture me?
Right.
It's going to be an interesting journey. But do you know what I mean? Like, because I want to be that person.
If any.
I want to be that guy that's like, oh, wow, you got that job? Great. You know? Oh, hey. Congratulations on all of that, because that's all anyone posts, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like, I wanted like just only see the content from like, I just want my timeline to be like inspirational quotes, girls that do tarot being like, this is what's going on for Pisces. Like, and then like fucking like Issa Rae and like Oprah and shit. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, you can come. Those that inspire, you can come. But like, person who keeps getting the shows I want, like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
The one good thing about the internet and social media is that you can literally curate your experience. And it always blows my mind when there are people getting like so angry at other people for what they post. I'm like, but you're following them. Like, you're only seeing this because you opted into exposing yourself to this. Stop looking at that shit. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, don't waste your energy like getting upset over it. Just like mute it, turn it off, unfollow it, like whatever you need to do. But like, don't.
Okay, fine. I will. I told you I'm starting therapy soon. I'll work on it.
Nobody benefits. Yeah, nobody benefits from like spiraling over the stuff in their feed. Oh, I mean, it took me a while. It wasn't until like 2 years ago that I'm like, stop replying to people you don't know on Twitter. Just stop. Like,
you're not going to change their minds. Vibes,
you're not going to change their mind. Yeah. You're not going to change your mind. Like, don't let random people who you don't know make you angry. That's the biggest waste of time. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah.
The other day, my Nana, legend, queer icon.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She was on LinkedIn. She was on LinkedIn and she got really, really excited about someone that she doesn't know at all, who like graduated. And she was like, congratulations. And then someone addressed the woman as Queen Mother. And I don't know what that means, but she was like, what's a Queen Mother? No one ever calls me Queen Mother. Is it because she's around my age? Is that something they tell you when you're at age? It was mad. And it was just like, she also went on this rant about how Diana Ross isn't that special. It was just hilarious. And I was just like, it was interesting just to see like a 73-year-old woman be subjected to the same shit that we are. And it was just
happening,
like,
to everyone.
Yeah, the world is in trouble, but we're gonna be okay
with the right intentions. I think that's what we learned here.
I do feel like COVID and quarantine and everything like really changed the game though, in terms of like fucking up everybody's sense of time, mm-hmm. everybody's sense of self. Like, there was a lot of reinvention that happened during quarantine because it did force a lot of people to kind of like go away and like be alone and not be so visible, that people had to like come to terms with who they were.
Oh my God.
Wasn't because it was a new year, you know, mm-hmm. it was like, you don't have to like wait until January 1st. All you need is like to take some time to be real with yourself about like who you are and what you want. And that's when like you can more organically put yourself on whatever track you want to be on. Yeah. Find those intentions.
And you can do that at any time. It doesn't take a life threatening.
God, yeah, it doesn't take. I mean, unfortunately, it did take a life-threatening illness for a lot of us to learn that lesson. But going forward, you don't have to wait for the next pandemic.
Let's not forget.
Yeah, and don't mess up my birthday by making it all about your goals. All right, make it about my birthday,
as it should be.
Stop
100%
mucking up my birthday with your resolution posts.
Less intentions of your own, more attention on Carolyn, okay?
Yes, please.
That's a very simple
solution.
I've actually
like always not liked my birthday because it feels like I never felt like I could own my birthday. Mm. So I've never been a birthday person. I rarely have birthday parties or like plan anything. It'll just like me and my wife like go out and do something nice and like maybe that's it.
And then like everyone else is also out doing something nice and it's like, fuck.
In a major way.
But it puts a lot of pressure on New Year's Eve. We haven't even talked about New Year's Eve, but yeah, New Year's Eve has always been this big thing. Tonight, we're recording this on New Year's Eve.
What are your plans?
Well,
Everything got shut down.
Yeah, everything was canceled. I was supposed to go to like a big fun hot rabbit party, and like my wife was arranging for me to like get a lap dance. It was gonna be a whole thing. Ooh. And then and now we're just going to like a more quiet dinner party where yeah. I was like, my one request is, because the host said that, you know, maybe we'd play games, and I'm like, no Cards Against Humanity. That's my one.
There you go.
I'm gonna pull yeah. the birthday card. Because, and say, I will leave this party if yeah. somebody breaks out Cards Against Humanity. And that's my only, that's the only like birthday
problematic cards.
Thing I'm going to be a princess about. Yeah.
Problematic yeah. team behind the cards.
Uh huh.
Everything about it sucks.
So scandalous. So yeah. bad.
What about you? Partying with Nana?
Not partying with Nana. So I am at my mom's, sans Nana. I will probably break out the sage. It's been a long time since I set that sage on fire. And probably just hit some like big journal energy. I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Big journal energy. And I think just kind of really vibe out and just try to fucking take it easy. Right. Cause I think that's how I want to bring in the new year, is like, honoring myself, right? Being less fearful and afraid and doubtful, and like giving myself a fucking break. So yes. maybe we're gonna like finish Succession today and, yes. you know, start the show that you said about, sort of.
Sort of, yes. yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, just perfect like, little HBO day. I love it.
When do you go back?
Oh my God. So I'm gonna go to fucking Ghana. Because my good cool. friend who does comedy shows goes to Ghana in the winter to like visit her family. So I'm gonna go there for like 3 weeks, and then I'm gonna go back.
I thought
to
you were
London.
Gonna say that she said the comedy scene in Ghana was lit.
Yeah, she was like, it's popping. Yeah, we're moving to Ghana. Yeah, but cool. so I'm gonna go out there, chill a bit, probably process my family shit. And then going back to London at the end of January to find a new apartment. And I fired my like agent at the in like summer, and then I picked one, a new one, and so start a relationship. It's like a lot of new shit happening. And nice. Mm-hmm. but I'm not fearful.
Nope.
I'm ready. Because I yeah. believe, I have faith in myself mm-hmm. and the universe. So how about that, self?
Perfect. We're excited to see everything God. That comes for you and everything you do.
Don't look at it.
Don't.
If you're ever in New York the last Monday of the month, come to our Stonewall show.
Most deaf. I hate mm-hmm. that I missed you guys when... Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would have loved to have met you, but we also want to come to London.
Yeah. Please do. And I'd be yeah. happy to be like, this is the bridge. This is the bridge. And be like, this is like, there's some lovely, like, I think really lovely queer shit going down in London. Like some of my pals, they run a gig called the Lol Word, and basically it's just like great vibes with like the most lovely audience. Like there's some lovely stuff going down, so I'd love
yeah
to
I didn't do any queer
that.
Shows when I was there. I just did a few yeah. straight shows. It was yeah. fun.
Well, it's not like they happen, they don't happen all the time, but right. we're making our way, like we're Brooklyn. Doing our thing. Yeah, yeah, we're out there, and I think I just feel so grateful to be a part of it.
And where can people follow you on social media so you can mute them, follow back and mute them?
Mm-hmm. That's because that is my MO. Kima Bob on the Instagram, on the Twitter. One of the things I've had to mourn was I had my Twitter account for 10 years, and last year it was like hacked and stolen.
What?
Yeah, and so now I'm kind of like starting from scratch. And
everyone go follow yeah. that, especially, and help rebuild.
It's sad. 10 years. I used to emo tweet in college about how lonely I was. But the positive thing is, like, try to fucking cancel me. What evidence do you have?
You
what
can't.
Evidence? It's gone. It's gone.
Perfect.
So now you can write for SNL. No problems.
Yeah, I'm cancelable.
Put that at the top of your packet.
1,000%.
I love it.
And don't worry, I've only been tweeting during the wokest years of my life now. So
hell yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Kima, thank you so much. This has been so much fun. And definitely hope we can dike out IRL.
Word.
In 2022.
Yes. And it's thank so you, nice to meet you guys. Thank you for having me. I feel like we're friends now, so I'm going to say that to myself, and I'm also going to say that to you.
Yes.
Yes.
So, Melody, we said what we were doing for New Year's, but we didn't get around to your New Year's Eve plans.
That's because I don't have any.
Great.
Everything got canceled. I was supposed to go to a party, got canceled, and then a small gathering that I guess wasn't small enough got called as cases started to rise. There is still an option of a party that got parsed down, but like I don't care. You know, like
I was bummed that the Hot Rabbit thing got canceled. I, of course, understand why. And then that made me just, you know, there are bars like Hens and Cubby and Stonewall that are doing things. Ginger's. Ginger's is requiring a same day rapid test. I'm like, weren't people standing in line for hours to get the test? Or was that just like last week and before the holidays, maybe people were doing that? It seems like that's calmed down a little bit.
In long, crowded lines that are not socially distanced.
And outside like, in just, the cold, if you're not feeling well. But Hens is actually like setting up like a COVID testing site at Hens.
Oh my God.
So you can get free testing before you go. But even with that, I don't know. I'm like, I hope everybody just has a safe and fun New Year's, or everyone had one, past tense. This is coming out in a whole new year. Let's get to our first listener question of the year.
Let's go. We're going to summarize this one. It was a bit lengthy, okay? The gist of it is this is a mask-presenting lesbian who often gets harassed when using public restrooms and wants advice on how to better navigate those situations.
So specifically... like,
what do you say?
Yes. Specifically, they are going in like the women's restroom to a point where when they're at the gym, they just end their workout early as soon as they need to use the bathroom so that they don't have to use the bathroom at the gym.
And that sucks.
That sucks. And there's an episode of Work in Progress. Not that it has a solution, because I think Abby just goes off on somebody.
Yeah.
In the bathroom.
That's my solution.
That was season one. Yeah. Just go off.
Pop off.
I think it's so... I still cannot imagine why... I would never in a million years tell somebody that they're in the wrong bathroom, even if they were clearly in the wrong bathroom.
Who looks at anyone else in the bathroom to even notice anything about them?
Yeah. And like, even as long as like they're minding their own business, like I'm not... concern is like if you're not bothering me, then I'm not gonna ask you what you're doing there. You know, it's just such a fucking nosy, horrible,
get over
rude
yourself
thing. Yeah. To navigate that, you know, Melody, we have the privilege of not having to encounter that, so we're probably not the best people to give advice.
Yeah.
So if
let's
people
recognize we're not, yeah, we know we're not.
We're cis presenting. Yeah. So if people do have helpful tips or things that have worked for them, maybe like share them on our Instagram post or something so that we can share that out. Or maybe we'll do an Instagram question or something like that. But, you know, we're going to try to answer this.
What can we come up with?
I like putting, like flipping the script. So if someone's like, are you in the right bathroom? Be like, I'm in the right bathroom. Are you in the right bathroom? And just make them
mind fuck.
Right. Who's it? I think it's Tig Notaro that somebody called her sir and then she called them ma'am back. And then that really confused them. Like, you know, Also, if you really want to make them feel uncomfortable, you could say you're confronting strangers in the bathroom and you think I'm the one who shouldn't be here. Like, let them know that they're the one who's like being rude, who's like ruining the vibe of that public restroom.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a space of release. Okay.
And speaking of that, let them know that they're upset about the wrong thing. Maybe try like, trust me, the deuce I'm about to drop will be the most offensive thing in here you need to worry about. Now, please step aside and let me get to that.
Yeah.
That's going to be the most upsetting thing.
Right. Are you poop shaming?
Yeah, I am.
You're going to hear from the listeners.
Oh, I'm so harmful for that.
You're
so toxic
ways.
And harmful to the community.
Please do not. We can't help it if we have a bad
everybody
poop.
Poops. I know. It's just a joke.
You could really, you can make a scene and say, are you asking me to pull down my pants outside the stall, you pervert? That's one. Just, why are you asking me about my genitals? Even though genitals doesn't mean gender, but you know what I'm saying, just make them feel ridiculous. It's such like a rude thing, and these people are completely ignorant to how ignorant they are or to how rude they're being. So I think just pointing it out, and maybe if everybody points it, then these people like one by one might shut their mouth.
Who knows? Just say, I want to pee in peace.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
or carry a card with you and just write bathroom pass on it and be like, oh, it's cool. I have a pass.
I have a lavatory pass.
Yeah. Just hold up your
lavatory. From the hall monitor.
Have it be a big piece of wood, chisel in it with a tiny key on it that everybody has to touch and bring it to the bathroom with them.
Yeah.
Isn't that the grossest thing?
And then use it as a weapon if things escalate.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm condoning
sage
violence.
Sage advice from your favorite co-hosts. Well, if you have a question that you need unqualified advice for,
yeah,
send it
we
to...
We are unqualified. I can't stress that enough. We know this.
Don't make Melody this. Feel pressure to give a good answer because she feels it. All right?
All the time.
I try, but...
Don't come for me in the emails this week. Give me the week off.
It was her birthday, okay? Give Melody a week off and let her enjoy this first week.
If you do come for me this week, keep that same energy for the actual oppressors. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
You should follow us at Dyking Out on social media everywhere, at Dyking Out Pod on TikTok, where we have given up, but you never know. At TGI Carolyn for me.
At Melody Kamali for me.
And thank you so much for starting off this year with us. Or, you know, whatever. There's no time in podcast land. You could be listening to this in 2027 if we're not underwater. I don't know. Enjoy the moment. Thank you for listening.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.